Please turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm reading from verses 13 and 14. Peter chapter 1 verses 13 and 14. Yea, I think it is meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Peter's second letter is written in his later years. Verse 14 shows us that. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. He shows us that he is expecting his life on earth to end. But he wants to be sure of those that he is leaving behind. This epistle of his has three aspects: to combat Paul's teaching, to encourage church growth, and to increase the expectation of Christ's return. Now as then, the church suffers to different degrees persecution, be it from governments, from society, from those around us, even our family. We in this country may not experience outright persecution, but we are beginning to feel legal pressure, where laws are introduced that undermine our position in society, Sunday trading laws. Then there is marital status they want to change. Even the right to preach or share the gospel in public are being questioned. At first, we may get subtle changes, and then perhaps more blatant. So this letter is to us as well. And his encouragement is for us as well. And his warnings are for us as well. Peter speaks further into this letter of problems. He speaks further into the problems within the church. The problems of false teachers and evildoers. And we must be aware of these facts as well. For we have false teachers and we have evildoers in our midst. And we must be aware of it. And yet, the passage we have in front of us today deals with encouragement. Encouragement to remember. To remember what we have received. For we know that we have problems remembering. And if we don't remember, then we will find it hard going. But if we do remember, then it is harder for us to lose our way. Three times Peter uses the word remembrance. Once in our passage before us, and either side as well. Let me read this to you. I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. That's what we've read. But in the previous verse it says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. And afterwards, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. You know, Peter knew personally how fallible our memories are and can be. Remember, he denied Jesus three times. Let me just turn to Matthew and read that. Matthew 26, verse 75. Now let's go to 74. And then he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. You see, Peter is talking from his experience. He forgot what Christ had said to him, that he would deny him. And when the cock crowed, he remembered the very words. And it reached into his heart, and he wept bitterly. We need to remember. But most of us have poor memories, prone to forget names. I know that when people are introduced to me, I almost immediately forget their name and have to be reminded. Prone to forget anniversaries, even birthdays. Isn't it strange yet? The painful or sinful events seem to never leave us. Perhaps sometimes Satan accusing us. Remember when you did this? Remember when you did that? How can you be forgiven? How can you be one of God's promised people when you've done these terrible things? Do you know what we don't remember when Satan does that? We forget sometimes that we are forgiven. And we should tell Satan where to go. He cannot accuse us, although his name means accusing. But other times things are brought to us by the Holy Spirit, prompting us to seek that forgiveness, that things that haven't been forgiven. Wanting to put us right with God. There are things in our lives that we must be brought to the front. And we should seek that forgiveness. For Peter, he knew he was forgiven. And even reinstated. Do you remember when Jesus spoke to him? John 21 verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. It's not Peter doing that with this letter. Is he not feeding the sheep? Knowing he is making sure. He's making sure the flock are fed. Even when he is gone, he's looking to heaven, to the future. When he won't be around anymore. And he wants to be sure that people will not lose their way. And he wants to remind them of things. And he leaves us this letter. Pictures and objects most often help us to remember events and things that are of the past. And here in verse 13 and 14, we have a picture of a tabernacle to describe the life we live on earth. as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle. A tabernacle. What is a tabernacle? Is it not a tent? A structure used for a temporary dwelling place. And yet, as Peter writes this word, it's a word that would draw a very strong emotion from those of Jewish descent to whom this letter was first sent. For the tabernacle was the place where God met his people. He gave them the tabernacle. Moses set it up. And there they would go to meet with their God. And here it is used in the same sentence as our Lord Jesus Christ. Even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. For Jesus is the true tabernacle. In him do we Christians not meet God. In the first chapter of John's Gospel, we are told the Word dwelt amongst us, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory in the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Dwell. That word dwell also means to be tabernacled amongst us, to live amongst us. For Jesus lived among men. And yet his glory that John mentions was hidden. You see, the tabernacle that the Jews had as they went through the wilderness was covered in skins. I know you once had a model here. And it showed you the tabernacle, and you could take off the top and you could see inside. But on the outside were all these skins. And from the outside you would know nothing of the splendour of the interior, because it couldn't be seen. And those passing by wouldn't know. But the interior was full of luxurious fabrics. There was precious metals of gold and silver. There was fine artwork and fantastic furnishings. Jesus' glory could not be seen. Except once when he was on earth. And it was revealed to Peter, James and John. And they went up on that mount and there was the transfiguration. Peter was an eyewitness. And he uses it as evidence of his authority. Down in verse 16 and 17. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitness of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honour and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Peter saw the glory of Jesus. So much so that he wanted to remember it, and he wanted to build little tabernacles there. But he was told not to. Jesus' glory is hidden from men, but revealed to us. You know, this tabernacle that they moved around had three distinct areas. There's the outer court that had the altar where they did the sacrifices. And there the general population were allowed. And then there was the two inner rooms. The first room, the holy place, where the lampstand and the showbread and the altar of incense were kept, where only the priests and Levites were allowed. And then there was the inner room, the second room, the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. where only the high priest was allowed. And there was a veil between that place and the next. And when Jesus died on that cross, that veil was torn in two, to show we no longer were separated from God. But the Lord Jesus had opened up the way to God. He was the door to the tabernacle, and he opened it wide. You know, sometimes the tabernacle is used to describe the church. The outer courtyard, indicating the outward form of the church, with its exercise of religion and worship, that all may see. The second room, the true church are allowed. Those saints who have a true relationship with God, who know God himself and know his grace and his mercy, and they enjoy that relationship with him. And the inner holies, the third place, is the church triumphant in heaven, in the presence of God itself. Each item within the tabernacle having significance for us. And just a few mentioned. The lampstand, with its oil in it, lit, representing the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwells within each one of us. We have the presence of God. And aren't we part of that tabernacle? Aren't we part of that temple? God living with us, in us. And then the showbread, showing the presence of Jesus himself, whom we feed on in faith. And didn't Jesus himself use symbols that we should remember what happened to him, that he died upon that cross? Doesn't he give us the symbols of the bread and wine, the elements that we use in our communion service to remember him? We have objects to remember him. We eat the bread because he is our body and we are one with him. We drink the wine, for he died for us, that we might be forgiven. You see, as we look at the tabernacle, one object leads to another, so that we can remember all that we have been taught. God didn't bring these things forward and command these things to be made without any purpose. When they first made them, they thought, oh, they're a purpose for our worship. But they all point to God. They all point to Christ our Saviour. They all point to us being reunited with our Father. The tabernacle, as I said, was a temporary dwelling. They moved from place to place in the wilderness, and then within their promised land themselves. The tabernacle was part of the covenant. And when they settled in their promised land, the tabernacle became the temple that was built in Jerusalem. But even then, this proved temporary. Even as Peter is writing this letter, and he's writing about the tabernacle, and people are thinking of the temple, in a couple of years' time, again, it will be destroyed. It was temporary. Even the bricks that were built up are temporary. But there is the true tabernacle, Christ himself in heaven. There is the true temple that is in heaven. And that's what we look for. That's where our permanence is. We too are temporary in this world. Peter wants to urge the church forward while he still lives. He wants to stir us up that we might remember. He doesn't want to stir up our emotions of past events. or emotions of people that have gone before. It's not an experience of sadness or of joy that he wants to stir up. The things that he wants to stir up are the words of God itself in our hearts. He wants us to know God's words. He wants us to know how to live godly lives, how to follow God's commandments. In the Holy of Holies was the ark, and there were the commandments written on stone. But God's laws are now written on our hearts, that we might know him and might know of his ways. And Peter wants us to know that. He wants us to remember what Jesus has taught him and what he has passed on to others. What in your lives brings you to remember that you are a Christian? What in your lives brings you to remember you are a follower of Jesus? You should be living a different life to the world around you. How many of us so quickly forget when we are caught up in the trials and temptations of this world? And this is Christians I'm talking about. Those who know what the glory is about in the tabernacle. How easily we so easily forget. We are a chosen people. We have a new covenant with God that Jesus has forged for us. A covenant of grace. Covenant of love and forgiveness. And yet how soon we put it to one side. And the world comes in and takes it away. You know, outside in the world, many are aware of Jesus. They stand on the outside of that tabernacle. Remember, it was tabernacles covered in skins, and anybody who went past wouldn't be aware of what was going on inside. They know of Jesus. They know of him as a good man. They know him even as a prophet of God. But they don't know him personally. They don't know him as their Lord and Saviour. They don't know of his glory that he shines into our lives. I imagine when people first met Jesus, they would have just walked past him, not looking too different from everybody else around them. It's only when they heard his words, they knew that he had an authority, that he had a power. And then they saw his power. And they saw that his authority was from God. How many would walk past now? But for us as Christians, we tabernacle in this world. Every day is another journey with Christ. We walk from one place to another with him. We should remember who we are. We should be able to see God in all his creation around us. His power and his divine nature are evidence of him. That's what it said in Romans. No one is without excuse. Not even the unbelievers, for there is evidence of God around them. They only have to look at his marvellous creation. And yet they twist that as well. And they try to exclude God and make excuses for what is there. And they make up their own fables. And he talks about fables later on. Devise fables. So that they can explain everything away. They do away with the miraculous. And they try and put a scientific tilt on everything. But even that is flawed. But we see God. We see his glory. We see his method in all that is around us. For Peter, as I said, this journey is near to an end. He knew his end was coming. And he wasn't worried for himself, for he knew where he was going. He knew that this is a temporary life and his permanence is in heaven itself. We need to realise how short our time is in this earthly tabernacle. You know, some people think, oh yes, this is it. This is where I'm living, here and now. And there is nothing else. Many try to extend their presence in this world. They build tombs. I was wandering around St. Peter's the other day, and there's tombs of people, and you know, they've got pictures in stone of who's there to remind people, to extend their presence even. They have memorials and monuments that are built to them. We've got the pyramids from Egypt, haven't we? You've got gravestones in all the churchyards. Sometimes I think people are trying to build a permanent remembrance of who they are. We have it in the psalm that we read this evening. People naming features of the landscape after the fields and mountains, as if to extend their life, as if they've got nowhere else to go. But to Peter, all this is superfluous. What does he do? In probably his last letter, his last communication with people, he points to Christ. And Christ alone. That's his memorial. Don't forget Christ. Follow Christ. Don't leave his ways. This letter could be seen as his last will and testimony. He emulates Christ. Remember, Christ prayed for the church. Prayed for its future. Prayed to his Father that he might protect us and keep us. And Peter follows that pattern. He leaves words of encouragement to ensure the future of those who will listen to his words. This is where we should be. Reminding people about God. Preparing them for the life in heaven. Because that is our permanent dwelling place. Many people don't think about eternity. They just see this life as the permanent. And there's those others that are afraid of what is ahead. Even Christians. Sometimes they say, oh, I hope I'm going to heaven. You ask them the question, are you going to heaven? Oh, I do hope. They're not sure about it. They don't know that they've been forgiven. They're uncertain about their place. And they don't realise that where they are at the moment is just a short term, a short presence. But we have eternity with God. We will see that glory in heaven. The glory of the temple, the glory of God. How can we deny it? So let us make sure that while we are on this earth, in this earthly tabernacle, let us make sure that we extend the kingdom of God. That our memorial is that of Peter's, pointing to Christ, pointing to heaven, pointing to the future. And not to the past. Let us pray.